Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I hope some of this content that we've just recently given you, and actually today, we're going to try to connect some dots of how you can use this information. And so, and we're also going to show you what we've got coming up and so forth, because today's not really a content day. This is what we call marketing. When I talk about the party, when I talk about grassroots, even though it's not necessarily marketing, I believe I'm giving you information or giving you some, I don't want to say insights, but providing a perspective, a different or maybe a unique perspective, so that you can kind of see, wow, this is really a problem and we do need to get involved. So marketing can kind of be applied a lot of different ways. My primary source of marketing, and this, actually, I'm telling you how and why we here on Reclaiming the Republic try to influence you, because we're proving every day that there is zero signs that the federal government is going to relinquish any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. It's just not going to be there. And as a matter of fact, they are growing and growing, and the government is actually getting ready to surrender our Constitution. I am not kidding. And even though this may lend to some of you that prescribe to conspiracy theories, I too can read the writing on the wall. I mean, the only reason why the UN was even created was to replace our Constitution and to move all countries into a single form of government. This is not news, and as a matter of fact, Adam Weishaupt basically created this plan, and it was an evolutionary plan. And when I say evolutionary, it grew and grew, and it started responding and growing and innovating. They started playing with manipulation a long time ago. You got to understand that there's money in all of this. When you want, so I know lots of people, and I don't know very many people that don't try to pursue financial independence, try to pursue, you know, some level of financial security. And then there are those who want it all. There are those who understand that if they work with others, they can take it all. And this is why, and there is some truth, there is no doubt in my mind, there is truth that those who have much more than most of us have been working and working to have it all. There has been constantly this movement of mergers and acquisitions, and we've had to kind of stop unconstitutionally. We've had to stop some of this stuff. We've created not necessarily a free market. This all lends to the mercantile system of how the government actually protects and supports these large corporations in gaining more and more power. Now, every once in a while, you'll find somebody that'll pipe up and say, oh, well, this is bad. We can't let this happen. We've got to stop this merger because this creates a monopoly. Where has there ever been a sentiment talking about the monopoly or the oligarchy that OPEC has created and has been manipulating our fuel prices for a long time? Anyway, in today's marketing, we're going to kind of look at the content that we've given you, the content that's coming up, and we're going to try to start connecting the dots, because we want you to have the, not only the knowledge, the power, because remember, knowledge is power, but we want to empower you and assist you so that you can actually start articulating to many, many people, such as your state legislators. You can go into your county, you know, central committee for both the Constitution Party. They've probably warmly received this, and the Republican Party. But we need more and more people to actually start connecting the dots. And so that's what we want to do today. And this is why most people that have started turning on are listening to this show since we started airing, and we've been growing. And it's not about our numbers that we care about, because there's many people that make a lot of money off of their growth and their audience. We don't have any sponsor. Ad Local is one sponsor. I have another sponsor. I need to create this, and I hope they forgive me, because I wanted to do this back in probably November. There's a group of veterans and former law enforcement that are donating. And I've said this before. They donate their time to provide physical security to events and groups that need it. And they're trying to do this, and they've been doing this at no charge. The only way they can do this is through support. And so one of the things that we would do is we would actually employ them. And instead of, I appreciate the fact that they would do it at no charge. There's no doubt in my mind that they would probably do every one of our events at no charge. But I believe that they should be paid. And if we actually have rodeos for Republic Review, and some of the things we've talked about before, I don't talk about these things a lot, because until we start getting close to executing and those types of things, then there's really no point in getting into that far down the road in the strategy. I don't know. And actually, there would be no plan of doing a rodeo in the next year. And that's just due, I mean, we would support some fairs and some activities, because, and actually, I'm going to make a note of that, because I want to bring that up, if not today, in the next couple of days of marketing, because I want you to understand how you can actually even have a wider influence, because how many people go to the state fairs and the county fairs? And so one of the things that we've done, and we tried to do, but we couldn't get the party to, you know, get involved in this, because it was always too late. But now is the time to start planning on getting a booth in the fair. I mean, booths usually cost so much if you are, and 9 times out of 10, if it's a county fair or state fair, and you're not charging, you're just providing a service, you know, they usually don't charge that much, or they will give you the free booth and space for the week or what have you. It requires people to take the day off. But we have, and we will help provide, you know, the content so that, you know, you can actually. And there was a great gal, and I won't mention her name, even though she deserves the credit. She actually took her own resources, rented a booth, and actually was out there with a little computer and a screen and playing presentations and doing video presentations, or I should say created video presentations, and then talking about Republic Review. Well, this is how the message gets out. This is how more and more people start learning. And, you know, before you know it, Republic Review will become a household name, or at least as commonly understood and known as Judicial Review. Anyway, you are listening to the only show that provides you with the academic-based evidence of what our problems are, how we've gotten here, and the academic-based evidence solutions. The show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And don't forget, we've got a comment line. Instead of dialing into the show, 425-270-5416. Yeah, if you dial into the show, I've had plenty of people that, you know, they get apprehensive, they're live, they're going to maybe hear their voice or what have you. Take your time. And, you know, at your convenience, and when you've got your passion boiling or what have you, give us a call, 425-270-5416. This way you can do it at your convenience, not during the tiny window when we may be able to take your call. Isn't it anybody that has ever called a talk show host, which I have, I've tried to call all of them, and 9 times out of 10, when I get to the screener will not put me through, because I do not want to talk about the stupid content that the host is talking about, they're looking, or they're looking for somebody that wants to contradict the host so that they can make the hosts look better. Anyway, we don't do that. What we want to do is we want to have a dialogue on the facts. If you believe something is different or what have you, by all means, call 425-270-5416. And with that, let us just kind of move on. We've kind of plugged good reasons why you want to have your friends and expand this listenership, because as more people get the message, as more people start understanding what we're doing and what they can be doing, then this is how we can actually start turning the states from red and blue to parchment. Because when it comes down to your individual liberty and individual sovereignty, most Democrats want the liberty to do the things that they want to do, but they want to take away yours. And 9 times out of 10, when they realize that theirs are going to be taken away in addition to taking away yours, well, then they start realizing, and this is how they wake up, right? Well, let me get into what we're going to be coming up with and talking about content. So we're going to go through some content in the next few shows, or coming up in the next couple of weeks, and I want to give you some insight on that, because this is how we're going to connect the dots with today's show, the following shows, and so forth. We will be right back and tell you what they are after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so what we're going to be covering, and I told you this, and you probably, this is not news, we're going to get into Madison's letter. It's a short letter, and the content's kind of short, but we can make it a show worthy, or I should say, we can probably expand upon the details and make this an entire show. But what's important here is that this letter supports the premise of the Constitution being a compact and fundamental compact or contract law and so forth. We're also going to, because we haven't actually done it yet since the ratification debates. So we're going to actually, and I've never done this before. I've usually just gone through Federalist Paper highlights. But what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to give you some comparisons between the Federalist Papers and the ratification debates and how different these things have been basically articulated. And actually, to help you understand that the Federalist Papers, which are probably the most widely cited papers by, you know, academics, lawyers, and the like, and the ratification debates still languish in obscurity. This is why we go through them, and this is why you're going to want to mark the day we start doing it to the day we end, because right there, all of those shows will become your little audio book instead of having, you know, track one, track two of disc one and all of that. You're going to actually get the, you know, the highlights, not the entire book. I'm not going to sit down and read the entire book for you, but, or I should say the debates, all of the debates, but I will highlight every single one of them so that you fundamentally understand what these debates cover. Many of them, or I should say a good considerable amount of them, sadly, do not cover the debates, at least the documents that we have. Like the Delaware debate was no debate at all. I mean, these people read the Constitution, they showed up as a convention, and it was a binary vote. Why? Because Delaware wanted to rubber stamp the Constitution as fast as possible, because they realized that with the bicameral legislative body, they were protected. And I'll get into all of that. Anyway, what I want to do is create kind of a comparison, contrast between Federalist Papers and the ratification debates. And what we also want to do, and I've got to do some prep work for this, but I am going to lay out and provide the text for the presentation to the highest court of the Republic regarding the Department of Transportation, what we just went through. In other words, I'm going to put together a PowerPoint presentation, and I'm going to try to make it 20 minutes or maybe a little bit more. But what I want to do, and what I will end up doing, is editorializing. This way, I will give you, I think, both the content and background information. So, and we'll try to even cover questions or potential questions at the end. So you will have everything you need from the PowerPoint presentation. And, you know, well, obviously you can read the words because that's what we're going to do. Editorializing and commenting on each of the slides as well as you go through this. So that you can make this presentation not just to your state legislators, but to the county central committees, to the state central committee, for the parties, to other organizations, and so forth. I truly believe, remember the premise, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. And what the problem is that middle part, that people aren't equally informed. It is a slam dunk. And as a matter of fact, what I want to get into, and so I'll just start off with this, is when you lay out what I did with Madison's veto comments or his admonishment to Congress, as well as Monroe's and Jackson's, it is irrefutable. When two framers and an additional president, who was a big government president, actually said you have to amend the Constitution if you want to create powers for the federal government to get beyond, you know, creating roadways. And so when you deal with a constitutional lawyer like I have, and I just recently did, and this is what kills me, is that you ask them, is the Department of Transportation constitutional? And why we start off with that one particular department and not healthcare, not education, and not any of the other unconstitutional departments, that one very specific. Because it was actually contended in these veto debates, and this was the one department that was challenged by the framers, by Madison, Monroe, and Jackson. So if you understand that we actually have precedents, we have empirical data that proves that the Department of Transportation has to be amended, or that role and power must be amended to the Constitution before the federal government can even exercise it, then it's irrefutable. I mean, any constitutional lawyer, and the one I just had to debate with in private on Messenger, was the fact that, you know, he refused to answer the question, and then he started mocking me with his arrogance and his pretentiousness, and basically trying to say, you know nothing. And, you know, and then he uses the term, you know, I don't try to act like a doctor. And why is it the people that, you know, have kind of think they understand the Constitution like you try to act like a constitutional lawyer? By no means, and I want to be on the record for this, by no means am I an enemy of the Constitution, because that's what most all lawyers have become. Because they believe that they can bend and twist, and through the court system, the court can make and usurp states' rights and state powers, because they believe that they and the courts and their judges, who are judges and who are they? They're people with JD degrees, they're lawyers, and they've created this paradigm, that they have the power to do these things. Well, they are the problem. And people like this individual I dealt with, they are the problem. And the interesting thing, and just to give you the background on this, here's this constitutional lawyer that's, you know, puffing out his chest in an open forum saying, you guys created this committee regarding something that's constitutional in law, and you didn't even allow me to participate. You know, and he's constantly, at least as he privately told me, he's always poking these guys in the eye because they never, you know, allow him to participate. You know, he's complaining about the parties, complaining about all the conservatives. And, you know, I'll be honest, I've got my issues with the party and, you know, the leadership of the party and so forth in this particular state. But I just wanted to find out, you know, was he the problem? And I had the suspicion that he was, especially when he told me that they were constantly doing this. And as you could see how he was framing it and describing and defending himself, you could tell that this guy was, you know, wasn't lacking any arrogance. In other words, the lack of humility was so dry. You know, it's like if you've ever been somewhere where it's just so dry, it just sucks up the moisture off of you and so forth. I mean, there was that kind of lack of humility, like a lack of humidity. Anyway, I'm just trying to mix some metaphors here for you. Bottom line, I want you to be able to shut down constitutional lawyers, because bottom line, I asked him, is the Department of Transportation constitutional? And he refused to answer because he wasn't going to fall for some little trap. The, you know, of course, he understands constitutional law and the precedents and why everything is constitutional with his arrogant tone. And so I said, well, then maybe you would like to understand, or maybe you'd like to know how you differ from the father of the Constitution. And I gave him Madison's veto. I gave him Monroe's veto. And of course, an arrogant person would say, I don't care about what these people said and what that says. And that's exactly what he said. So what do you do when you're dealing with somebody? It kind of reminds me of the little story about the guy that was sitting on the top of his roof as the water was ascending. It was rising, and it was getting closer and closer to him drowning because he couldn't swim. And a guy came by with a raft and said, hey, you know, get in, and I'll take you to safety. And he goes, no, that's okay. I've prayed for the Lord to save me. And then, you know, so he okay, it goes off. And then this rescue boat, you know, professional rescuers are going through and picking up people. And say, jump on in. We'll take you with everybody else to a sanctuary or what have you. And he says, no, I've prayed to God to send me help. you know, that he helped me. And so they, okay, they leave. And then, you know, as he's standing on the roof, almost being overcome by the water, a helicopter comes by and says, here, he throws him a lifeline. And he goes, no, I'm waiting for the Lord to save me. And, well, and, you know, of course, the inevitable happens and he dies. And as he goes into heaven, he says, Lord, I asked you to save me and you never saved me. And he says, what are you talking about? I sent you a raft, a boat, and a helicopter. Anyway, that's how arrogant people are, that they expect very specific things. And you know what? That you don't recognize all of the other truths and facts, and you're not willing to recognize the truth and facts from others. Anyhow, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
You know, I'm not an advocate for spending a lot of time in dealing with toxic people, but I am an advocate in continually proving that you can't teach anybody that is not willing to learn. And those people who are in the ring, most of those, now I don't want to, you know, every good lawyer is that way, but because there are very few. But again, there are very few. They are a brotherhood. They are a they are the problem, but they're not willing to recognize that. And they try to claim, many of these guys try to claim, oh, I'm a huge supporter of the Constitution. Bottom line, they cannot refute, they won't refute, and they do not provide any argument regarding the Department of Transportation and the fact that it must be an amendment to the Constitution for it to be a constitutional role, responsibility, or power, period. And so once you've proven that they refuse to even try to defend their position, that, you know, how dare you, you know, try to tell me and how to practice law. Anyway. What we want to do, and what we, as I said earlier, is we want to create this petition for you for going into your state legislators regarding the Department of Transportation and then beg the argument where if you have to have an amendment to something that seems pretty innocuous, and most people kind of unfortunately accept this concept of the Department of Transportation because it kind of seems like a federal role, even though the framers, Madison, Monroe, and Jackson, not a framer, three presidents said you had to. Well, if you have to have an amendment for the Department of Transportation, where's the amendment for education? That's not in the Constitution at all. Housing, that's not in the Constitution. Healthcare, welfare, labor, none of those things are within the Constitution or the enumerated powers. And so why is it that we're allowing the federal government to tax us and spend money on things they have no authority to spend money on? And then this is where the following argument comes in to basically say, if they are doing all of this, then it is all in fraud. And so why are we being held accountable to a debt that they're creating unconstitutionally? That is the characteristic of fraud, and it seems like the American people are being basically held accountable to a case of fraud by not only the government, but by foreign governments as well. Interesting. Anyway, but we also want to set up and help, and what we want to do is work with the NLA and the We the People Foundation and some other local groups in petitioning. Instead of, you know, what people call protesting, what we want to do is petition the state government, petition your county commissioners in going in and actually making these statements and, you know, calling them out for failing to actually support the Constitution. And the time has come when all patriots, all Americans abide by their oath of citizenship in supporting the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic. What we also want to do is unite all these other groups. And so if we happen to have a protest that would appeal to a specific or a myopic group, we want to make sure we invite them to the parade. If, and when I say protest, like I said, I really mean petition. I don't want to be walking or being assembling out in public spaces or, you know, doing what the unconstitutional Antifa and these socialist or fascist organizations are doing, getting out into the street. We need to enter into the halls of Congress or enter into the halls of your state legislature, your county commissioners, as a body of people, petitioning them and demanding that they redress your grievances, period. And so we want to actually get this and we want to start bringing up the heat. We want to get it to a boil so that these people start understanding, wow, you know what? These people that understand the Constitution, they're either going to, you know, get me in a position where I'm going to lose my seat or I'm going to have to start standing up and supporting this because these are actually my constituents. Why? Because if you live in a red county, I understand in a blue state, you may have lots of red counties in a blue state like we do in Washington. Most all states, even in New York, they have red counties. And if you start petitioning your county seat and your county commissioners and challenging them why they are not doing their job of fulfilling their oath in petitions. Now, remember, it's one thing to protest. It's another thing to petition because they legally, constitutionally, they have to respond. They've been ignoring us. But what we want to do is we want to continue to petition them. And with the We the People Foundation of Bob Schultz has been very successful in actually going into court cases in proving that they have failed to respond to, based on the law, they have failed to respond to these petitions. And he's actually gotten injunctions and have gotten rulings in his favor in demanding that the federal government and or state government and or county government actually address his petitions to say that they must do it. So as they continue to ignore us, we want to make it difficult for them to continue to do so. And so over time, they're going to realize that there is this undeniable relationship in the Constitution between the people and those who claim to govern them. Remember the consent of the governed, right? And most people have heard that. So as we go through some of the, I want to give you some examples of different hot constitutional issues and topics that we can actually bring to bear as a petition. The militia, the responsibility of the people to enforce the Constitution and constitutional laws. Right there, that is one thing that the state, county, and the federal government are not embracing, that it is the militia's responsibility to enforce the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections and repel invasions, in that order. We've already talked about challenging the Department of Transportation and all these other unconstitutional powers. We also want to start bringing into the fray demanding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment be followed and removing very specific actors. If you live in a blue state and you go into your red county commissioners, you want to actually petition them that they remove that crappy governor who has passed unconstitutional laws that is oppressing you. We want them to go after removing all public servants, but we start with the big low-hanging fruit that's easy to pick and point out. Now, this doesn't mean that they're going to do this, but over time, they're going to be overwhelmed with the fact that they can't even refute what you're saying. When it comes to the Constitution, Section 3 is there. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is clearly there. I mean, does this mean that we don't support the entire Constitution? We get to cherry pick? This is my problem with myopic organizations like the Second Amendment groups. You know, they want to cherry pick what part of the Constitution they want to embrace and love, not the whole thing. And I'm going, what? Doesn't stand to being a quote unquote constitutional organization when they all of a sudden become myopic. It's almost like the same thing with Christianity. There's some Christian faiths that only embrace certain doctrines that are within the Bible, but they don't embrace all of them. Anyway, don't want to be picking on religion at this point in time. What we want to demand is that, like I said, they remove, and we need to create a list. And actually, this list, as I talked about with the party needs to be creating this list. The party needs to be supporting and driving these petitions. And this is why you go in to the Republican Central Committee and say, why are you not supporting this? Because you know what? They're not going to. And people that are going to be sitting in that room are going to be going, this is kind of an indictment. Why? Because those people in those red counties, those county commissioners, they're their folks. And when their folks fail to support the Constitution and the party fails to support the Constitution, then what are the people in the party going to do that want the Constitution to be supported? They need to leave. And we have a place for them to go. It's called the Constitution Party. And then what we want to do is use those same PCOs and convert them into precinct committee officers for the Constitution Party. And then get those people out to start educating the, you know, those who are Republican to say why you had just left the Republican Party and how you've recognized that they are the enemy of the Constitution. Come on. Show me, give me any evidence. I've proven that the RNC goes after anybody that is supporting the Constitution, and they support political correctness. They support shutting people down because they don't agree with what they have to say. It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't like the Ku Klux Klan, but as long as they're not in government demanding unconstitutional acts and unconstitutional laws be passed, anybody in the public fray should be able to say anything as long as it's not obscene and there aren't laws protecting those types of obscenities. But anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so a few other things, because, again, we want to create a list of all bad actors that are public servants who are violating the Constitution, and we want to start making that public. And as a matter of fact, what we want to do, and I believe that as we start getting organized, either the NLA or some organization will be hosting that list and be actually providing the documentation as to how these public servants have failed to support the Constitution. And we can easily start pointing to every single one of our public servants. So we're going to start with the real egregious violations and, you know, work from there, because it's going to be a long laundry list. And the point is, what we want to do is just point to the egregious ones so that we can say, look, this person has disqualified themselves from public service because they violated the Constitution in this manner, and they should be removed. Why is this person still drawing a salary? Why is this person still representing people? They have lost or they've disqualified themselves from this and should be removed and banned for life. And that's what we need to do. Another thing we also need to do is we actually start needing to do equal justice. And I don't mean social justice. What I mean is, how much news are you getting over the death and, or I should actually call it, the murder of Ashley Babbitt? Now, how long did it take when Floyd George was allegedly murdered? That's still going through this process. And anyway, but the question was, because it wasn't that the police officer just shot the person in cold blood without any, you know, threat to their life or what have you, like we have with Ashley Babbitt. That was a cold murder. And so how long do we wait for DC, and how long do we wait for the news agencies to start saying, hey, you know, there hasn't been anything going on regarding the investigation of the murder, what have you, and this is not being reported? Start making comparisons and contrasting, and start actually, and this is how one of the many things that we need to start protesting your local media, because if your local media isn't running it like they did, go through the history. Cover how many times your newspaper actually printed articles regarding George Floyd. And then how many articles have they, wrote regarding the murder of Ashley Babbitt? And this is how we can call them out as being a supporter of propaganda and actually suppressing very specific information and promoting other specific information because of the narratives. And this is, we need to actually start making the media, the journalist media, actually cringe a little bit and make them feel very uncomfortable. We want the people to recognize that they're dealing with, when they pick up that paper, when they turn on that television to that news channel, they are getting propaganda. And they don't deserve their tax-free credits or what have you. They should be actually called out as a propaganda mill. And, where is our conscience in media? Where is the objective journalism to speak on all sides of the issue? It's not existing. And we need to be demanding that we actually have objective journalism and start demanding. And this is where this starts bleeding into your county commissioners and your state legislators, demanding that they start creating standards. And as soon as they say, hey, the First Amendment, well, the First Amendment only applies to the federal government. Show me why the states cannot create standards for journalism just like they have for electricians and plumbers and these other professions. As a matter of fact, then you also work into this conversation. Speaking of standards, why don't we have standards for politicians and public servants? Now you've made them uncomfortable because now you can challenge their qualifications for what they're doing. It's about making everybody feel uncomfortable. You know what? This is America, and you have a right to be offended, and you have a right to feel uncomfortable, especially if the shoe fits, right? Or if it's the glove. There you go. Anyway, we want you to start getting involved, and we want actually people to start using their brain and noggin in changing the narrative and bringing the focus onto the Constitution and the travesty of how we're being manipulated by the left media, and all of the tools that they are using to take us down this path of communism. We need to get active, and we need to start demanding. This is where we also start using this concept of common law grand juries. We've talked about this before, but this is where we can then go to the sheriff and our county commissioners, because the county commissioners are going to say this. Well, what do we do? What can we do? One thing they can do is they can convene a common law grand jury to create a declaration that the laws are being broken by their own state legislators, their own judges, and so forth and so on. There you go. When they ask, we can't do anything about it, then you can point out that they're wrong, that they too can actually exercise the Constitution in convening a common law grand jury. So as we kind of move into this year, we want to give you, this is the marketing. What is it going to take to get you involved? What is it going to take to get you into becoming a part of the solution and not a part of the problem? We cannot just sit idly by and allow all of this injustice, all of these things to continue. If we start shining the light, what ends up happening? When you shine the light on evil, evil usually scurries underneath the rocks to go hide, because all of a sudden people go, what is that? There's a point there. You actually are pointing out something that's very interesting. I want to tell you, because I want to spend the last few minutes regarding a conversation I had with an old friend who happens to be a liberal. He claims to be a conservative, and he believes in military and, you know, a strong America. But he called and he wanted to defend his hate and disdain for Trump. And I said, well, okay, so let's judge a president based on what they do. And what is the most important thing a president does? And he, you know, well, you know, he speaks for the people. And I go, no, let's get into the actual job description within the Constitution. What's the most important thing? What's the one thing that they are actually required to do? And he, you know, he obviously, I needed to help him, but I told him, I said, isn't the president's job to create policies with foreign nations and to ensure that America is capable of, one, defending itself and its ideals, as well as ensuring its policies benefit America? Well, yeah, and I'm absolutely a strong supporter of that. And I go, well, when it comes to actually putting money into the military and actually making America's military better, I think you're voting for Obama and you're voting for Biden and you're voting for Clinton actually speaks different than what you're saying, because only Trump has really, because even Bush did not spend the necessary money. He rewarded contracts with very specific, you know, like the UAV drone strikes and those types of things. But there was a lot of things that did that fell by the wayside that even Bush really didn't address. And Clinton didn't address. And even Herschel Walker Bush. When we went into Desert Storm, we were inadequate. I mean, the technology and footwear, armament, and all of these other things were so much better. I can tell you, it was a joke. We went into Desert Storm with Vietnam-era armament and protections and so forth. I mean, the weaponry, some of that stuff was pretty good. But why didn't we have the lives of the, you know, the Marine soldiers and so forth that were taking fire? Why didn't they have better vests? Why didn't they have, you know, because the flak jackets, that stuff was old. And as a matter of fact, Clinton did nothing so that when we went into the second iteration, it was even older crap. Not to say that there wasn't some technology bleeding into the uniforms. It was inadequate, as far as I'm concerned, compared to what we could have been spending. But again, they are funneling money to go into social programs and not into, you know, the responsibilities that they're supposed to. So anyway, as I was talking to my friend, I said, come on, you have to he has to rank as one of our best presidents compared to, you know, in comparison to Reagan, Coolidge, and so forth. And the bad presidents, you know, obviously they're the ones that drag us into war and so forth. I mean, he's gotten us out of foreign entanglements. And I can't understand how you're telling me that you agree that these things are important, but you want to rail on him for, you know, his stupid comments and his Twitter feeds. And really? I mean, that has nothing to do with his job. And you're just like Kennedy. Are we to hate Kennedy because he was an adulterer? Or Obama because of his, you know, homosexuality tendencies, his drug use? It's about how they perform the job. Let's separate the personality from how they do the job. And it was really hard for him to get it. And so we'll see. But I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.